Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we come expectant to be fed by You. And so we ask, Lord, that You would speak to us through Your Word and in the power of Your Holy Spirit to nourish our souls with our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1, but we'll be focusing our attention specifically on verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you went to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you went too far. Colossians chapter 2, at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we have, as I've said many times this morning already, we have much to give thanks for. I love this season because it is important for our spiritual development. Thankfulness is a wonderful virtue and it displays great maturity. All you have to do is look at the development of a child. Very few of them are born thankful, aren't they? It's a rare thing to see. Most of the time it's something that must be taught. And it takes a long time for us to learn. And even as adults, it's something that we are all still struggling with. But if you are full of thanksgiving, it shows something. It shows that you understand grace. Because you appreciate how much you have been given. And so it is important for us in this season to remember that we need to be thankful. And it's an important season for us in our Christian walk, even as I would say, as Christmas and Easter are. Because it's a time in which we have to give thanks for what God in Christ has done for us. Personally, we all have so much to give thanks to the Lord for over this last year. We have roofs over our heads and food in our fridges. Hopefully some really good food this weekend, right? The mouth is salivating and the stomach is getting prepared to be full, right? But we have so much to give thanks for. None of us have lost our jobs due to COVID. That's quite something to be said in this day and age and in this congregation. We have health and family. That's quite something to be said as well. And even if we're not near to our family geographically, we can still be near our church family, and that's such a blessing too. We have so many earthly things that we often take for granted. We have cars, and children have all manner of toys, right? We have lots to be thankful for, from the big things to the small things. All are reason to give thanks to the Lord, for we recognize that every good and perfect gift is given to us by our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights. We are such a blessed people, not only individually, but we are blessed as a congregation. I've said this a few times, and the Lord willing, I will continue to say this as long as I'm here, as long as it's true. We are blessed as a church. This congregation is something very special. Let us never take what God has done in our midst for granted. The love and mutual respect that is shared between all of us is a wonderfully beautiful thing. It really is. And so, as a church body, we have so much to be thankful for, that even through COVID and restrictions, I have never felt uncomfortable talking to any of you about it. Even when I knew we did not agree. And that is a beautiful thing, because it shows that there is love, genuine love, and real respect given between all of us, and a deep unity that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must give thanks for that. We've also been blessed, even in smaller ways. None of us have gotten COVID really bad. No one has been in the hospital for a very long time where we couldn't go visit them. I've been praying for that so much. We had one member go in the hospital for a little while, and that was hard as it was. But at least it wasn't so long, otherwise it might be banging down the door. But it was such a blessing. Think about that. In our congregation, it's almost 2 years now that we haven't had anybody stay there isolated for an extended period of time. That's God's goodness. Really it is. And most of all, we are blessed to be able to worship the Lord together once again. What a reason to give thanks to the Lord, not only together, but together freely. I hope that we have learned just how thankful we should be to be in the presence of God with His people. This moment, these times that we have on Sundays, are a great reason to give thanks to the Lord. Because here we meet with our God face to face, and here we get to be encouraged by His people as we hear them singing. And as we pray together, and as we hear God speak together, and as we partake of the sacraments together, What wonderful blessings. And may we always give thanks. We are a blessed people, and we have a lot to be thankful for. But even more than this, we have another reason to be thankful. The supreme reason to be thankful. In fact, it is the reason from which all other thanks comes from. Paul tells us about it here. That we have the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Let us look specifically at verses 6 and 7 now. Paul encouragingly commands us in verse 6 to walk with Christ as we have received Him. In other words, just as we believed and trusted in and loved Christ when we first believed, so we are to continue to walk with Christ in the same manner. Remember, Paul is talking to the church in Colossae, and so we have to remember this is a church plant where a lot of these people are coming to faith later in life. And so he is encouraging this church of new converts that just as you believed when I first gave you the gospel, continue in that profession and in that belief. So for us who have known Christ, as far as we can remember, this is an encouragement for us as well to continue and persevere in this life walking with Christ. There is no sense in this passage or in any part of Scripture that we may simply pray the sinner's prayer and then go on as if nothing has changed in our life and that there is nothing substantial that has happened. No, if our receiving and walking with Christ is lifelong, and yes, it has a starting point, but it is always to continue on into eternity. And so we are encouraged here to persevere in walking with Christ. Paul then gives a few more words to describe how we are exactly to walk with Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like in the Christian life? And the first word that Paul uses there is the word rooted. Rooted. What comes to mind when you think of that word? Well, it's the image of a tree with its roots going deep into the ground. This is an imagery that is common throughout Scripture, and we are often referred to as trees, and even the kingdom of God is compared to a tree, a mustard seed that grows into a tree. And we can think of Psalm 1, verse 3, where talking of the blessed man who lives the blessed life, who's meditating on God's word, he is described as a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And there, in Psalm 1, the one that is like a tree that's planted by rivers of water, as I said, is the one who meditates on the law or on the word of God. It is what his roots are soaking up, but they're drawing in the word of God. But here in this passage, Paul is drawing special attention to the roots of the tree, not just the branches or the trunk, but the roots. And we, of course, know that the roots take in nutrients from the ground, but also the roots are incredibly important for the tree for it to not fall over. Kind of an important thing for a tree to stand upright. The roots give the tree stability. This is the main point that Paul is making here, because in this book he's warning the Colossians from falling away after false teaching. And I think of those trees, children. You maybe have gone on a hike and you've seen a cliff, and here's this tree that's hanging off the edge and is completely just hanging on to the rock by its roots. That's somewhat of what Paul is talking about, that our roots must wrap around the rock that is Christ. We must cling to Christ as if our life depends on it, because it does. Just as if the roots of that tree let go, that tree would fall, wouldn't it? But our roots must be wrapped around Christ. That's the point that Paul is making here. We need to, in every aspect of the Christian life, cling to Christ. Cling to Christ for help. Cling to Christ for sustenance. Cling to Christ for security, for preservation, and for life. The next thing that Paul says there is that we need to be built up in Christ. Remember, Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the anchor stone of the structure that is the church. And so we are to be built upon Him as our foundation and solid rock. Also, that we are, notice the language, to be built up in Him. Not just built upon Him. Built up in Him. This is an interesting phrase because it is an exhortation to be continually built upon Christ. There's an ongoing building that is to take place. It is not a one and done. It is a lifelong pursuit of Christ and clinging to Christ and walking with Christ. But also, that the building up in Christ is done with Christ. With Christ. Meaning Christ is doing it in us as we walk with Him. There is a relationship there, of which as we walk with Christ, we will be further strengthened because He is the one that is working in us to build upon Himself. Which relieves us of the burden that we could never carry of trying to build upon Christ in our own strength. It's not possible. But here, Paul is reminding us to build upon Christ, yes, but also build upon Christ, resting in Christ, trusting in Christ, clinging to Christ. And finally, Paul says, established in the faith. This is a reiteration of what Paul has said in the previous word pictures. But he's showing us just how to do that. We must be well-grounded in the faith. And this communicates to us two ideas. First, that we must know the faith, or know the content of our faith, meaning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, we have to have our trust in Christ, who is the object of our faith. So we have to know who Christ is and what He's done for us, but also it is communicated in that phrase, established in the faith, that we are actually trusting and resting and believing in Christ Himself. This means that we are going to have to be in the Word of God continually. It should be our desire that we learn more of Christ, because as we know more of Him, that is part of our walking with Him. Men generally can walk on a path with another guy and go a long time without saying a word to each other, probably. Women, not so much, and this is the example. As they walk together, what happens? They get to know each other more and more. That's the idea of walking with Christ, that as we are walking with Him, we are getting to know Him more, and as we get to know Him more, we trust Him more. If you don't know somebody, you may put some trust in them, but you're certainly not going to put as much trust in a stranger as in somebody that you have known for a very long time and has been trustworthy. Well, it's the same thing. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, as we walk through life with Him more and more, it should be that our trust in Him grows. So as I said, this means we're going to have to be in the Word of God continually. We're going to have to be learning more and more about who He is and what He's done. But it also means that we are going to have to be a people of prayer. Because as we learn more about Christ, if we are trusting Him more, that means we're going to communicate with Him more. You know how it is when you are talking with somebody that maybe has done you wrong, maybe gossiped about you behind your back. You are going to withhold certain information from them, aren't you? You're not going to be completely open with them because you know they might not use that information in my best interest. But if you know somebody that they're always going to do what's good for you, they're going to take that information and help you, you're going to be open and honest with that person. Well, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, as we get to know Him and how He always does good to us, how He always blesses us in every situation, it should be the natural function of our heart to bring everything to Him in prayer. Because we trust Him more and more. We see this quite clearly as Paul says that we are to be established in the faith as you have been taught. That gives us an indicator of what exactly Paul is talking about there. Taught by whom? That's an important question. Taught by whom? By the Apostle Paul. And so we, with the Colossians of that day, must be taught by the apostolic witness, which is found for us in the New Testament. And of course, as we think about the witness of God, we see it throughout the whole Bible. But now we come to the last phrase in our text, the part that directly applies to Thanksgiving. You've probably been wondering when, Pastor, you're going to get there. Abounding in it, that is, in the faith, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We are going to be pressed hard on every side. The closer we try to get to Christ, the harder our flesh will fight back. But we as Christ's people are to be continually abounding in the faith. That is to be our goal. Meaning we are supposed to be continually growing in our knowledge of the Christian faith, but that knowledge must then translate into a deeper relationship with the Lord. We've covered that. One, that deeper relationship, one where we are ever growing in our trust of the Lord, our love for Him, and more placing our hope in Him. And as that relationship continues to develop, as we grow in our knowledge of Him, we grow in our trust of Him, it should always be done in thanksgiving. John Calvin, commenting on this passage, writes, "He, that's Paul, would not have them, the Colossians, simply remain immovable, but would have them grow every day more and more. When he adds, with thanksgiving, he would have them always keep in mind from what source faith itself proceeds, that they may not be puffed up with presumption, but may rather with fear rest themselves in the gift of God. And unquestionably, ingratitude is very frequently the reason why we are deprived of the light of the gospel as well as other divine favors. So Calvin's saying two things there, essentially, isn't he? What Paul is communicating to us is that we must always give thanks to God for the faith that we have, because it did not come from ourselves. And so we have no reason to boast in ourselves, but only to give thanks to God, because we recognize any good thing we have from Him is grace. It's a gift. And so therefore we must be full of thanksgiving to Him. But he's also saying, look at the negative. Look at when we are unthankful. When we are unthankful, we often miss the good things that God is doing. It's like children, if you have a toy that's battery powered, and you love that toy, it's so much fun. I remember having my Matchbox cars, and they would have, it had a little battery-powered wheel thingy that would shoot the car down the track, right? And it was so much fun, and we would play that for hours and hours and hours, and we had so much fun, but then eventually the inevitable happened. The batteries died, and Mom and Dad didn't have any more in the house. And how much anguish and sadness did we have because we couldn't play with our Christmas gift anymore? When in reality, we should have given thanks for those wonderful hours that we got to spend watching the car go zooming around the track and crash into things and all kinds of manner of fun, as boys would have, right? But that's the way sometimes we are. We think about the one thing that maybe we really wish we did have and we didn't get it, instead of giving thanks for the great abundance that we do have. And so when we do not have gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts, we are missing it. We are missing the gospel, and we're missing so many other blessings that God has given to us. Think for a moment about how meaningful it has been to you in your life, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that with me. Think about how meaningful the gospel has been to you in specific circumstances in your life, especially the difficult ones. To know who God is, and how He cares for you, and how He has saved you. Think about how at various moments, certain verses and doctrines became so vital to your mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical stability and health. Whether it be leaning on the providential care of God and losing a job, or financially wondering how you're going to make ends meet, or whether it's losing a loved one and clinging tightly to the promises of eternal life. Maybe it's that you've lost your physical health and how dear it is to know that Christ is with you in your suffering, and that your suffering is not in vain, but is for some good and glorious purpose. I think of all those soldiers and their families, soldiers who fought in Afghanistan, as an example. Those who were wounded or lost comrades, and families here at home that lost their loved ones over there. Right now, from a worldly perspective, it seems like all that sacrifice was for nothing. All is vanity. That would be the conclusion that you would come to if you looked at that situation with worldly eyes. And yet for the Christian, even that, we have hope that God's good purposes would be done despite all the wickedness and all the brokenness. It is most certainly going to happen in a different way and on a different time frame than we would expect. But as David says in Psalm 27, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But we would never have that perspective unless the Lord had told us of His goodness and caused our hearts to believe it. This is just one example of how God's Word is the solid rock upon which we must be tethered and built upon, because the Word of God gives us Christ. The Word of God reveals to us God Himself and the good news that we have because of how He has loved us and how He has saved us. But now think with me about the truths that every single one of us as Christians get to experience because of the gospel. We are alive. And therefore, we do believe in God and in Christ, and so we have a sure hope every single day of our lives. The devil would love to make us think that our situation is hopeless and that our life has no meaning. For the Christian, we know that is never true. We always have hope in any and all circumstances, and we know that our life does in fact have deep and real meaning. We know that the face of God is always shining upon us with the warmest of love. For we see it in the cross of Christ, where Christ displays His great love for us, in that while we were still sinners, He died for us, so that we would be made righteous in the sight of God. We walk every day in the light of the truth, knowing that we are a child of God and that we are Christ's bride. We see Him working in us by our hatred of sin and desire to repent and do His will. And we have a sure hope that one day we will see our Savior face to face and behold the glory of God in all its radiance. We never have to worry about where we are going or what will happen to us after we die. We always have a sure hope. Those are just a few examples. Of how the gospel impacts your life in every moment. And so as we learn more about our God and the gospel, what is the only proper response we could have? But to be filled with thanksgiving. What else could we do, brothers and sisters, than to be overwhelmed by the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and to be full of thanksgiving all of the time, because in every moment, God is doing a bajillion things throughout the universe to bless you and to love you. What a blessing that is. And what thanksgiving should fill our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many earthly things for us to give thanks to you for. So many wonderful blessings. But we give you thanks this day especially for our Lord Jesus Christ and for revealing him to us in your word and in the power of your Holy Spirit. We are a blessed people. We really are. Because we have you, we have everything. We are rich, though we are poor in this life. We have rest and peace and hope, though the world around us may completely fall apart. Though the mountains be removed into the midst of the sea, we will not fear. For you, our God, are our refuge and strength. Help us, Heavenly Father, to cling to our Lord Jesus Christ and the solid rock of the gospel, the truth as it is in Jesus. We know we can't do it in our own strength. We know that in ourselves we will complain and we will be blind to your blessings. And so we pray, work in our hearts and in our lives to draw us closer to yourself and to show us your goodness. And that despite what would happen to us, that we always have a reason to give thanks because we have you. Do this work in us, Heavenly Father, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.